Man, I believe everyone here could say you've been blessed. It's good to have you with us tonight, Jordan Baptist Church, our Wednesday night Bible study. We've been studying on the spirit, soul, and body. Last week we looked at the flesh. This week we want to get into fleshly Christians. And if you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll be going to a few places tonight. And you can jot them down. I hope you've got a notebook handy that you can write some things down. But Paul here in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he mentions three different types of people. One is he talks about the natural man in verse 14, chapter 2. The natural man means a lost man, a man that has a natural flesh, controlled of the flesh and the soul. His spirit has not been made alive, as we've been talking. And so therefore, he can't be spiritual. He can't be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't indwell him. He can only be convicted of the Holy Spirit, of his lost condition. Then he speaks of the carnal and spiritual Christians. We're going to deal with the carnal Christians. The word carnal means fleshly. It means those that have been in a state of prolonged infancy. In other words, they're still a baby. They shouldn't have been a baby. They should have outgrown some things. They're still hanging on to those things after years and years and sometimes a lifetime of being saved. Now, let me say this. The Bible tells us the last church age, the church age of Laodicea, that we would see those that would be members of that church and church age that would be spewed out of his mouth. They would not be saved individuals. They would be lost, even though they'd be members of the church. I believe we have two types of people that really cause a lot of trouble within our church. One is lost church members. Members have never been saved, yet their name is on the books. And sometimes they perform certain functions within the church when they have no business doing so. The second one is these carnal Christians that Paul talks about. We not only experience them in our day, in the latter days of time, but we also realize that Paul had it as well. Now, does that mean that someone is always carnal when they get saved, a babe in Christ? No. Paul got saved, and immediately he was filled with the Spirit of God, and then God prepared him for a work, and he went out on that work. But let's read, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first four verses. Now notice he uses the word carnal three times in these four verses. And again, it means fleshly. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That's in verse 1. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So tonight I want to dwell with people who are actually saved, but they are carnal. Fleshly in their nature, fleshly in their actions, and fleshly in things that they do. So when we get saved, as we've talked about, our spirit's made alive. The Holy Spirit of God comes and abodes within us, and he begins to work on the inside, working out. And there are certain things that he begins to work in our lives, but God always starts from the inside, working out. And so he doesn't expect when people get saved to automatically be spiritual giants. As a matter of fact, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, I'm not going to read there, he talks of some being little children in Christ, some being young men in Christ, having certain strengths that little children doesn't have, and some being adults or men or fathers or spiritual fathers and having experience and so forth. And so there's different levels that we grow into as a Christian.
The thing that many sometimes pastors doesn't have the patience. The Bible tells us we're to preach the word, be instant in season, out season, reprove and rebuke and exhort and all long suffering and doctrine. The long suffering is something that pastors doesn't have. Sometimes when someone becomes a member of the church, they automatically expect them to conform to every conviction that they have and to have the same walk and testimony that everyone else in the church has. Well, that's not the way things happen. Everyone grows at their own level. Some people never grows up, even though they're saved. This is the ones that Paul's dealing with right here. And sometimes people get saved, and even though they love the Lord, they're very fervent in spirit, they're faithful to the Lord right off the bat being saved, yet they have not learned some valuable things as they will begin to grow spiritually. The first thing that you do when you become a mature Christian is you learn to hate and detest your flesh. And when you understand how dreaded your flesh is, you understand that that's you and the sin within you. In other words, you don't turn around and start blaming everybody else for what's going on. You look at yourself and you realize that's sin within you. Not only that, but you also have to grow, you have to grow to have a better understanding of God's will. Once we become spiritual, our spirit's made alive and we're saved, God's will and way in our life to live a spiritual life before God. And so we have to have time to grow into that. Also, babes in Christ need some time to be tested by fire. Until you're tested by fire, you'll not understand the weakness of your flesh. And so, therefore, you trust your flesh too much. And so when people get saved, I talked about this last week, sometimes when people get saved, they get discouraged after a few weeks after they've been saved because they find their old fleshly nature is still there. And they thought everything would just be changed. The old nature wouldn't bother them anymore, and this new divine nature that they got would just control everything. Well, you know, the flesh and the soul has been in control for all those years, and they don't give it up very lightly. And so therefore, they fight for everything that they can get. And sometimes it causes young Christians to be discouraged. So we need time to grow. But the Bible doesn't teach that when someone automatically gets saved, that they're a mature spiritual being where God would have them be. But he wants them to develop and to progress. Peter talks about feeding babes the sincere milk of the Word of God. Yet, the progress shouldn't take years and years and years and even a lifetime. That shouldn't happen. You should be able to grow out of the baby. Babies are cute. But after a baby grows up, he gets 10, 12 years old, he's not cute anymore. He's not a baby. He shouldn't be a baby. Even though he acts like a baby, that's not cute. Sometimes I go in a store and I'll see some 6, 7, 8, 10-year-old boy laying in the floor kicking his heels and throwing a fit. And that's not cute. Nothing funny about that. So, you know, we need to understand that the problem that Paul was having here was they were taking too long in coming out of their infant stage. They were being babes, and they shouldn't be babes. They should have left that a long time ago. In Hebrews chapter 5, we run into the same thing. If you want to turn there just a moment. In Hebrews chapter 5, we have them talking about babes in Christ that should have grown and should have passed. If you look in verse number 11, chapter 5, he says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Now, let me tell you something about babes in Christ. We're going to talk about some identifying marks of those who are babes in Christ. But they don't want it, they don't hear very well. They don't listen. In verse number 12, he says, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Now let me say this, and also share this with maybe young pastors. Sometimes young pastors make mistake of someone getting saved, and immediately they take that person and they throw them into a class to teach a class or oversee something. They're not ready for that yet. They need to be trained to be skillful in the Word of God. And so therefore, give them time. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Verse 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, discern both good and evil. Now, if you want to discourage someone who gets saved, what you do is you just throw them right into a class. I know one person got saved, and immediately, the very next week, the pastor put them teaching Revelation in a Sunday school class. And he got so discouraged, eventually dropped out of church because he got discouraged because he was way over his head. And that pastor should have had more spiritual discernment than to place him in that position. Now, why does people stay babes in Christ? Why are they in Corinthians? Why are they, Paul, having this problem when they should have been spiritual, but they're still carnal, still babes in Christ? Well, one is the spiritual teaching that they're receiving and guidance that they're receiving. Sometimes when someone gets saved, the church, they deal with the grace of God that saves sinners, and they deal with your position that Christ has put you to by your faith and trust in Christ into the family of God, but they leave it right there. They don't go on in encouraging that young believer to let the Holy Spirit of God control his life, teaching him about some battles that he's going to face, letting him understand the flesh, soul, and spirit, as we're doing tonight. Because until you understand all three of those, and we'll get into the soul and spirit here next week or two, until you understand those and how they play in your role in your life, then sometimes you don't understand as a Christian why you're not doing the things you should do, and sometimes you're doing things that you shouldn't do. And so you've got to understand how this flesh plays a role. So sometimes young Christians are not being taught. They're not being nurtured. And they're not, as God says, after we baptize them in the commission, that we are to teach them whatsoever things that Christ has taught us and left us behind to teach them. The second thing is, sometimes when people get saved, they think, well, I'm saved, and they just don't have no hunger and appetite and interest in spiritual things. They don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, and what happens is they let their flesh, their carnal part, control. And when they're not having any interest, it's hard to teach those people something. And Paul said he was having a hard time teaching these carnal believers. Now, if you look in Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5, notice he said that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now, that's important to understand. The Corinthians, now you need to get this. This is important. The Corinthians was not absent of knowledge. They had been taught things. They had it in their head. They knew what to do. Their problem was they knew certain doctrines, they knew certain teachings, they knew certain spiritual truths, but they couldn't apply it practically in their life, or they didn't apply it practically. They talked a good show. Have you ever seen someone who talked a good show? They didn't walk the walk, but they sure could talk the talk. Well, that's what the Corinthians were. They knew doctrines, they knew spiritual truths, but they were not obedient to the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, tells us that be not drunk in wine excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we are to be, let the Spirit of God take possession of us and to fill us, and therefore give him a submission in our life. Now, what are some marks of babies? Number one, if you have babies in your church, babes in Christ, cannot feed themselves. They're like natural babies. They don't feed themselves. They need somebody else to feed them. Now, when someone gets saved, as I said, the best thing you could do is take them under your wing and begin to teach them. Teach them the Word of God. Let them understand and see how it works practically in their life. Second of all, they don't pray for themselves. They always want to look for someone else to pray for them. They don't have the confidence yet. They've not grown into that confidence of praying. I've known people that's been saved for 25 years, and every time a problem comes up, instead of them falling on their face before God, they'll look out someone else to pray for them. And it's all right to ask someone to pray for you, but you need to be able to pray for yourself. And last but not least, a babe in Christ, you can't leave them alone. Man, I tell you what, when you find someone who's an overextended babe, someone who should have been out of baby stage a long time ago, and they're still a babe in Christ, they cause all kinds of issues. What's some of the evidence that you're carnal? Look, if you would, in verse number 3 of chapter 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? In other words, envy, strife, divisions. Now, let me share something with you, and I'm trying to help you tonight. If you're someone in your church that every time you turn around, you're causing divisions, and you got envies and strife, there's something wrong with your spirituality. You're either not saved or you're either a babe in Christ. And you need to be very careful. Now, if you notice from the very beginning, chapter 1, Paul said that they were dividing up in four different groups, following four different groups. And they were having all kinds of divisions among themselves. It showed how spiritually small that they were. But you know what really is at the base? When you are causing divisions and you're allowing yourself to be used to cause divisions and interruptions in the church, a lack of love. Paul deals with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He tells us that we can do all these other things, but if we have not love, we're wasting our time. The second thing it may be is a lack of fleshly control. I've heard of situations happening in churches, and it's embarrassing to hear the actions that some has, especially during business meetings. I think it's a shame and disgrace. And speaking to our church, I want to say something to you tonight. 32 years I've been here. In 32 years, one negative vote in 32 years. You don't know how much that means to me. Does that mean everybody's always 100% behind? No. But some things, we try to discuss things before they're brought before the church, but some things just aren't worth creating a division when it's not a big issue. Now, if it's a doctrinal issue that's very important, that's a different story. But over what color the carpet's going to be or what color we're going to paint a wall, or that's foolishness. That's childishness. That's babes in Christ that gets in arguments over those things. Do I have my preference over colors? Yes, but am I going to cause a division in the church? Absolutely not. Because I would much rather give in and let it be someone else and get along than cause a division. But if you're one and listening to me, and you're always in the midst of every situation going on, you need to take a good inward look and ask yourself what your problem is. You either need a good dose of salvation or you need to grow up. And that's important. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of harsh talk. Well, babes can't control their temper. They let it go. They're very selfish. They're not willing to forgive. He said that they walk, look in verse 3, they walk as men. In other words, your actions are a semblance of how the world does. That doesn't have the Spirit of God. That doesn't have a new spirit. If you're saved, you shouldn't ever be acting that way. Is it always easy to forgive? No. But is it possible? Yes. That's why Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're to forgive others because Christ, or God for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Have you ever stopped to think how much God has forgiven you of? through Christ, then sometimes what someone else has done to us looks pretty small concerning what we've done with God. And so therefore we are to do that. But we can't forget, all of us has a struggle. In Romans chapter 7, I went there the other day, but I wanted to read a couple of verses. Paul reminds us that we struggle with the sin within ourselves. Chapter 7, verse number 11, he says this, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." There are times when we take our eye off of our flesh as Christians, and our flesh is going to whip us if we're not careful. Paul said we have to deal with it every single day. He said daily he had to buffet his in submission. Every day he got up, he had to fight the flesh. And he goes on in verse number 14, he says this, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." 17, he says, "Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Verse number 20, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." You know a good sign of being spiritual? The more spiritual a person is, the more that he will hate the sin that dwells in him. The closer you get to God, the smaller you look. When you have these people that wants to stand before everybody and brag about what they've done for God and what they've sacrificed and what they're doing, they need to take a walk closer to God. Paul, do you have any doubt that Paul was a spiritual man? He said, "I'm chiefest of all sinners." Man, the closer he got to God, the more he realized how ugly his flesh was. And you see, to be spiritual, you've got to do that. Babes in Christ has never come to the knowledge of how ugly their flesh is and how harmful it is. We've got to be reminded that our flesh is enmity with God. It cannot please God, and God deems it as worthless, hateful, and he detests it. Now, he says, the works of our flesh is manifest. Turn, if you would, in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, notice what he says in verse number 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." That means they're made known. "Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Then he goes on, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now let me say something about the things of the flesh that are manifested. You can divide them up into five categories here. First of all, sins that defile, the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Those are things that defile a man. Second of all, sins that are associated with Satan and the occult. Idolatry, sorcery, things like that, you should have no part of. Sins of temperament and temper. Enmity, strife, jealousies, and having all kinds of outbursts of anger and things like that are sins of temperament. That's things of the flesh. Sins of divisions, when you have schisms and divisions among you, sins of indulgence, drunkenness, revelings, all these have the same root. The root is flesh, and flesh that dwells within us. Now remember, you can't mend, you can't educate the flesh, you're not going to change the nature of the flesh. In chapter 5 there, in verse 24, Paul says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust." In other words, what you have to do is you have to crucify the flesh. That's why in John chapter 16, in verse number 8, the Holy Spirit, the first work that the Holy Spirit would do when he comes in, he will start convicting you of sin. Now let me say this before I close out here in a moment, and I want you to understand. The Bible says that when we are tempted, that we are not tempted of God in James chapter 1. God tempts no man to do evil. But when we're tempted, we are drawn away with our own lust. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. So it's our own lust that gets us. But when the Holy Spirit of God comes, the first thing he does is begin to convict us of sin. Now, if you want, and I'm talking to pastors too, if you want a church where people grows in the Lord, you have to give them room to grow. You have to let them develop their own convictions. That's why the Bible says that each Christian has no need for any man to teach him, but the Holy Spirit of God will teach him. You know, there's things in people's lives here in our church that I don't know anything about. But when I preach, the Holy Spirit of God may give 50, 100 different messages to 100 different people sitting here in this congregation. It may be talking to individuals' hearts about things I know nothing about. It may be convicting them of certain things in their life. I can't tell you how many times people walks out and said, "Preacher, I didn't know you knew. You hit it right on the head. I had no idea what they're talking about." But the Holy Spirit of God did. Because the work of the Holy Spirit is to begin to convict you. And what happens is, if you want to have a growth and you want to have people growing in the Lord, what you do is this. As you teach the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God begins to work on them about certain things in their life. Now, if they give it up because you beat them over the head, because it's your convictions, then they're never going to have any pleasure and joy over that, giving up that issue in their life. But if they come to the knowledge by the Holy Spirit's conviction, and they submit to the Holy Spirit, and they give up that thing that God's dealing with them on, they have joy, and that's a step forward in their growth as a spiritual Christian. And you have to allow them to grow. Everyone grows at certain levels. But if you're listening to my voice and you're like these Corinthians, I mean, go through the book of 1 Corinthians. I mean, how many problems were they having? Not only were they carnal babes, they were suing each other. They had an issue in their church they wouldn't deal with. Some guy had his stepmother, and he was committing fornication with her, and they wouldn't deal with that. And then you get in chapter 7, they deal with marriage. Chapter 8, they were dealing with things that they ate and so forth, and causing divisions among them. And on over in spiritual gifts in chapter 12, love in chapter 13, 14, talking in tongues and issues like that. They had all kinds of problems because they were spiritual babies. But now, the closer we get to God, the more enlightened we'll become about the sin that's within us and the greater sin. And what we'll do is this. We'll come to the conclusion like Paul did in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And that is that when we become weak, we become strong because we depend upon God and His grace to help us battle these things of the flesh. It's greater than you. And so when you, and see, the Corinthians here, remember they were knowledgeable? And their knowledge was puffing them up. They were thinking that they were better than someone else. Let me give you a couple of remedies about some things in church as babes in Christ you need to think about. Number one, you need to accept. Go back in chapter 3 a moment. And notice, if you would, in verse number 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? Verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Number one, in church, you must accept the equality of all believers. Every member of the church has importance. And you can't begin to think yourself above, and the Corinthians was thinking, because they had some knowledge, even though they couldn't put it in practice, they thought that they were better than other people. They looked down. They were busy telling everybody what they should do, how they should do it, but yet they weren't doing it themselves. They did that because they thought themselves better than somebody. Get yourself on the same level. We're all sheep. God is head of the church. Jesus is. And so therefore, we are His sheep. We are His building. Every person in the building has a purpose. Your purpose may be one thing. Somebody else's purpose may be another. You got these gifts. Somebody else got other gifts. But if you think that you're something special above other people and you're looking down, that's a good sign you've got spiritual immaturity still left in you. You need to rise above that. You need to ask God to forgive you. Second of all, you need to realize that we're in a labor. You need to understand to focus on the labor and the responsibility that God has placed upon us. We all have a job. If you're a finger, then you have a job of a finger. If you're an ear, you have a job of an ear. Whatever you are in the church, whatever part you make up the body, you have a purpose in that body. You need to be concentrating upon your purpose. He did not send you there to be a critic, to be a judge. He did not send you there to be boss. Even pastors sometimes, they exalt authority that they shouldn't have. They begin to feel like they're kings and lords. When Peter tells us plainly in 1 Peter chapter 5 that we are not to lord ourselves over God's heritage, but we are to lead by example. We have oversight. Yes, we try to give direction. And yes, we ought to have some respect for the position we have. And we ought to have prayers and people praying for us. And all those things are correct. But we are not kings and we're not lord over God's people. Jesus is still head. And so whether we're pastors or whether we're deacons or whether we're just other members, we need to stop a moment and understand that wherever God has us, he has a purpose. Concentrate on your labor and don't concentrate on everybody else. If you want to do somebody a favor that may be out of step, do it this way. There is times when me as pastor, I have to step in and I have to deal with certain issues. But the first thing that you ought to do whenever you see something coming is you ought to be prayerful and pray and lift up and try to encourage that person to go the right way, not set yourself up as authority over that person. That's what babes in Christ do. That's what causes divisions within churches so many times. I heard someone sharing something with me just this last week. Church being tore all to pieces because new pastor come in and some of them was used to singing with music on a CD. Well, he just stepped up. He said, I don't have any Bible for this, but no more canned music. Well, that's a wrong approach to take. Now, if there's something wrong with the music, then bring it to him privately and talk to him. But, you know, what's the difference between a guitar playing on a CD and a guitar playing in live here? I just don't get it. Why do you want to cause a division? Why do you want to split a church over? There's too many more important issues. Concentrate on the labor that we have before us. The third thing is this. Realize, as verse 9 says, that we are co-laborers with God. Does that not do something for you to realize that we're in this with him? He's allowed us to be a part of his labor, of his vineyard, of his work. Oh my. You know, when we support missions, we have missions all over, missionaries that we support all over the world. When we get letters in, I hear people getting saved and so forth, and they come in here and sometimes they've had 250, 300 people saved during the year. I'm just elated. And I just bow my head and I think, God, thank you that I was some small part of being able to see those people way over there get saved in the other side of the world. What a blessing it is. So we must realize the importance of the work and the importance of being co-laborers with God. Let God deal with them. I had an old spiritual pastor one time tell me something. I had a question. I said, how do I change this person? He said, son, you don't. Let God change them. He said, you just take it to the Lord in prayer and let him deal with it. And you know, I never said a word. And it was just a short period of time that person came and told me that they had a conviction to start doing something different. And it was exactly what I was praying about. God's much better at that than we are. And so therefore, what we do is need to understand, when we forget the importance of our work, it shows our immaturity. I mean, for Christ's sake, we ought to be wanting to get along and willing to get along. Well, she said something about me. Well, he said something, or he did something, or they didn't praise me when I sung a song. Really? Think about it. Think about what we owe Christ. And is it worth allowing yourself to be a carnal Christian? Last but not least, look if you would in verse 18 of chapter 3. He says, let no man deceive himself, for if any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Now listen, as babes in Christ, you have people trying to look in their own ways and deal with things in their own philosophy, and they deal with things the way I've had some people say, well, that's the way I deal with it at work. A spiritual Christian sees how God deals with things, not how we deal with things. Not how our grandpa dealt with it, not how this, but we look and see how God would have us. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts not our, they're so much higher than us. And so what we have to do is we have to learn to give way and exchange our way of thinking into God's way of thinking. And so before we jump up and before we allow ourselves to show ourselves of being babes when we should be grown up, we need to slow down before we cause envies and divisions and all those things. Now you say, Brother Billy, what can I do? Begin to pray about that. Let the Holy Spirit of God. There's nothing says that you as a carnal Christian can't grow to be a spiritual Christian. Some people are just slow, but God does not want you to spend your entire saved experience here on this earth being a babe in Christ. It's only natural that you babe when you're born again, but it's just a short period of time you ought to grow up. And you ought to grow to be spiritual. And God's able to do that. And our hope and prayer is tonight that you would understand how important it is that we understand this flesh. Because, listen, if I'm sitting there on the pew and all of a sudden I find myself being jealous of someone, say, for instance, I'm just using an example. If someone comes here to preach and everybody's amening him and they're getting along and boy, people just bragging on how good a preacher he was, if I let that cause jealousy, it would show that I was a real baby in Christ. I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I get someone to come fill this pulpit, I want someone that will not only feed the congregation, but I want them to feed me too. And you know, it does my heart great pleasure whenever someone comes and at my request and they come here and they fill this pulpit and they walk away and church says, man, I so enjoyed that. I got something out of it. He blessed my heart. Same way you ought to be when someone sings. We shouldn't evaluate the applause or the amens according to how we sung or they sung. That just shows your immaturity. And so if you're struggling with these things, then Paul was encouraging the Corinthians, just as I would encourage you, you can evaluate and you can see the signs of being fleshly, even as a Christian, but you need to go on and grow up. And you'll be such a blessing to your church if you grow out of those things. And quit acting like a baby and act like an adult. Because the church needs spiritual beings that contributes to the working of the church. I appreciate your time tonight. And tonight I wanted to, before I left the flesh, I wanted you to understand that even as Christians, we still struggle and we still have issues with the flesh and we still have to beat that thing down and we have to deal with those things all the time. So if you're struggling with those things, I hope that the Holy Spirit of God tonight will begin to convict your heart and show you the ways in which you can overcome those things. Because when he saved us, he gave us the ability to overcome all the issues that we're going to face of our flesh.
There's no reason in the world that you as a carnal believer cannot grow on to be spiritual. But you have to learn to submit to the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word of God. The more that we get to know ourselves, the more we realize it's all you and it's none of us. Lord, when we get to heaven, all our praise is going to Jesus. It's not going to be us. Anything that we might have been fortunate enough, some way, somehow, to earn a crown, will be laid at his feet, because we'll recognize it's only because of him that we were able to even be there. And when we get to heaven, have our glorified bodies, no more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow. Oh, and we'll be singing praises. The redeemed will, that's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, will be lifting up heavens all around, just singing and praising the Lamb of God. And Heavenly Father, help us while we're here to understand more about ourselves. Therefore, we don't trust in ourselves as babes, but we trust in you. And we learn to hate ourselves as far as the old flesh that's within us. And Heavenly Father, help us as we grow spiritually. And Lord, those that may be under sound of our voice tonight, experiencing being babes in Christ way too long in their lives, spiritual infancies, that they need to grow. And Lord, I pray that you would enable them to grow. And Lord, there may be some under sound of our voice that say, "Preacher, I'm not even saved. And you spoke to me tonight." God, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would just come into his life, show him the need, and let him fall upon his face before the Lord and call upon him to save his soul tonight. That would bear desire. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.